Matthew chapter 20, I'll begin in verse number 20 and read down to verse 28. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Together in verse 28. Ready? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now obviously, if you look at our title here, serving, I think you can see our text verse. Our text verse is 27, verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So we're finishing out this series about growing in our Christian life. And one of the principles is this idea about serving. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray and get right into the message. Father, I pray that you would bless your word as it's preached. Bless it to the heart of that person this morning, Lord, maybe who is struggling, maybe that one who's looking for an answer, that one maybe who doesn't know you as Savior, that whatever it may be, Lord, that the word of God will be fruitful in their life. And bless it, Lord, to each of us this morning. Now we ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. When we come to verse 27, which is really our main text verse of that text we read, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, your slave, the one who's doing, the one who's serving. And we come to that text verse, it really, I think, upsets a lot of people's view of ministry or of Christianity. Often we think always in a maybe an American mindset, a carnal mindset, a human mindset, that the idea is to get up, to rise up the ladder, to be on the top, to be the top dog, to be the guy at the top telling everyone else what to do, because that's where we want to be. And that's what the disciples were thinking as well. They were thinking, you know, top dog Christianity, but Jesus was teaching this servanthood, this servant type of Christianity. And we think about this idea of growing and serving the Lord, the way up is down. It's an amazing thing. The Lord says, you want to be great? Good, go serve a bunch of people. No. I want to be served. Then you don't want to be great. Because if you want to be great, as far as the Lord is concerned, go serve a bunch of people. When you think about ministry, and I don't mean, when I say ministry, I don't mean just being the pastor of a church or a missionary out in a field or an evangelist who comes through. I'm talking about individual believers serving the Lord with their life, whatever it may be. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be working a bus route, ushering, nursery, whatever it may be, or just loving and caring and helping people, whatever that ministry, that thing you're doing for the Lord. When it comes to ministry, it is not about self-promotion. It's about service. It's not about seeking recognition from fellow believers. It's about serving fellow believers. Wednesday night, Brother Maley brought the Bible study, and he made this statement, which is a very good statement. He said, too many of us, now he's talking about unity, but I'm going to apply it here to our message here this morning. Too many of us seek the preeminence of Christ instead of the mind of Christ. When he talked about the preeminence. He's talking about the preeminence that belongs to Christ. We want preeminence. We want honor. We want recognition. We want to be the person that people come up and pat on the back and everyone recognize. We want to be the guy who walks in, everyone knows our name and everyone's talking to us and everyone's wanting to shake our hand and everyone is rallying to us. That's what we want to be. That builds our pride. That builds our ego. That puffs us up. But that's not always what Christianity is. In fact, maybe never what Christianity is. Christianity is about serving. Christianity is about losing yourself for the sake of others. So it's not about preeminence. It's about serving. Now, if we are to grow in our Christian life, we must, let me slow down because I want you to get this. If we are to grow in our Christian life, because that's really the thrust of this whole series, Principles of Growth. Let me back up for a moment because I got sidetracked on the thing there. I'm a born-again believer in Christ, not because I went to Bible college, not because I'm a pastor, but because when I was a teenager, I realized I was a sinner. And sinners can't go to heaven. Something's got to wash my sin away. Baptism tank can't do it. The water in a baptism tank is the same water when you turn on the faucet and you wash your hands. It's the same water. Okay, there's no special holy water that you know that you throw on a witch and the witch melts. Okay, yeah, that's Hollywood. That's not Bible. Baptistry can't wash my sins away. And if I had said from this moment on, I'm going to try to do everything right, and even if I could, which I could not, but even if I could, what about all the things I did wrong? I'm still indebted because of my sin. So I realized that Jesus Christ died for me, a bus kid. Riding a bus to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Morgantown, West Virginia, Jesus died for me. His blood was shed for me. And I opened my heart. I received Christ as my Savior. I didn't just become religious. I didn't just decide to be moral. I opened my heart and received Christ personally. I put my faith and confidence and trust in Him. Not in the church, not in the pastor, but in Christ alone. And I would tell you this morning, I'm a born-again believer in Christ because as a teenager, I received Christ and I was born again. Now, when I think about that, being born again, now I want to grow as a believer. I would hate to think that at 55 years of age, I'm no different as a believer than I was at 17. I knew no more Bible, didn't love the Lord anymore, didn't do anymore. I hope that I've grown some over these years. Now, if you're a born again believer as well, and I'm sure many of you are, if you're a born-again believer as well, I hope there's a desire to go forward in your Christian life. I would hate to think that at the end of my life, whenever it may be, that I stand before the Lord and my whole testimony is, well, I collected baseball cards, went to the fair, and I like popcorn. That's your life. Did you witness anyone? Did you serve anyone? Did you help anyone? Did you do anything for me? I want the Lord to... If there's a line here waiting for rewards in heaven, I know I'm going to be way in the back, okay? There's going to be a whole lot more people getting a lot more rewards than me, but I at least want, when I stand before the Lord, after the 10 millionth person has passed by and I finally make my way to the Lord, I want to at least say, Lord, I did something for you. I tried. I put some effort in it. So if we are going to grow in our Christian life, if we're going to try to be more like Jesus and go forward in our Christian life, if we are to grow in our Christian life, now watch, we must find avenues to serve God in ministry. You cannot grow if you do not serve. It isn't going to happen. We can't simply walk around with this huge head because we know so much about God and we can't hardly stand up because our head is so big. But our heart is so small because we don't do anything with it. I'm all for preaching. I'm all for teaching. I kind of make a livelihood doing it. So I'm all for being under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You probably can hear the kids over here. I don't know if you can hear them. I can hear them because they're right behind me like... I can hear them like that. I can hear them. They probably just heard that. They're probably wondering who's beating on the wall. Now, there are people over there who are teaching these young people. Great. I appreciate the Clevelands and their helpers and their faithfulness. Great. We're trying to teach God's Word here. Great. All the way beyond this wall to the far back part of the church and our Sunshine Ministry, those with special needs are being taught the Word of God. Great. But it's not enough just to hear God's word. It's not just enough to be under the preaching and teaching of God's word. We also must, now watch, we must be actively using what we learn in service to God. The answer isn't having this big paper we unroll and say, here's all I know. But what are you doing? If you're not doing anything with it, it doesn't matter. We need to actively use what we're learning in service to the Lord. Now listen to this statement. Not all serving Christians are growing Christians. Seems like, I know what I just said. Just listen to the statement. Not all serving Christians are growing Christians. Some people are serving the Lord today. They grew to a certain point in their Christian life. Now they're serving the Lord, but they quit growing. No one can teach you anything because you know everything. You quit growing. You're still serving, but you quit growing. So not all serving Christians are growing Christians. But watch this. But all growing Christians will be serving Christians. Because if you're growing, if I look at you and say, man, they're growing in their Christian life, I can tell you this, you're serving. You're doing something. Because without serving, you can't grow. It's a part of the growth process. So you may be serving and you quit growing. You grew at one time, now you quit. But let me tell you, if you want to be growing going forward, you must be serving. It should be the heart of every believer. The heart of every believer. To have a testimony of long-term faithful service in a church ministry. And if that's our heart, I'm going to give you some help. So how can we do this? How can we serve in a way that honors the Lord and helps us grow and be what we ought to be in Christ? Let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to share three things with you. As we go through these verses we read, three things I think that we can look at and hopefully understand and inculcate into our life and be what we ought to be as believers. Go with me to verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup, now watch this, that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say to him, "We are able." Well, they were really not knowing what they're talking about. But what Jesus said was important. So that brings us to our first understanding, which is number one, which is this. Sorry. As you can tell, my thing is doing its own thing. Identify with Jesus. Identify with Jesus. So that if we're going to serve the Lord and grow, I must identify with Him. Now, that may not make sense, so just bear with me. Let me explain it. In a narrow way, he's talking to his disciples. He says, are you able to drink of this cup? Are you able to get this baptism? And he's thinking down the road, Jesus is about to be crucified. That is the cup. That is the baptism, suffering and sacrifice. And he's saying to disciples, you understand, if I'm not here to make a big name of myself. I'm here to die for the sake of others. That's what I'm doing. What about you? And, oh, yeah, we can do it too. And I think they were really speaking out of turn, not really understanding what Jesus was saying. In a narrow way, he's talking about suffering and sacrifice. But in a broader sense, if you understand all that he's saying here, in a broader sense, because this would be included in that, he's talking about service. Jesus came to serve. How do I know that? Well, let's stay in our text. Go down to verse 28. He says this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Yes, to give his life, but also to minister, to serve. And so if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to serve and grow because of my service, I have to identify with Jesus. In other words, if I'm not able to die to myself, then there's really no way I can live for the Lord the way he wants to be lived, how he wants me to live for him. That brings us to that verse you saw a moment ago. Then said Jesus' disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So we have to die to ourselves if we're going to live for the Lord. Now, I know I'm being really roundabout. I'll get to it in a moment. Just stay with me. I'm trying to lay some foundation before I really get to the main point of this point. Well, what has to die in this idea of identifying with Jesus? He died, we have to die. He served, we have to serve. What has to die? He's not saying that we actually have to go to a physical cross and get nailed on it. What he's saying is that we have to die to self. And really the big thing that we have to die to is this idea of pride. You know why we have, now we're getting to the point, to the meat. You know why we have trouble with serving? Because we want to be served. We want to call the shots. We want to tell people what to do. We don't want to be the flunky. We don't want to be the follower. We want to be the one who's telling everyone else. That's our pride. And what Jesus is saying is, you want this position of honor, but you want the position of honor out of your pride. He's saying, I am coming. I may be exalted by my Father, but I'm coming in a sense to serve others. I'm dying to myself and living unto the Lord. It's a death of self, a death to my pride. I'm coming to serve. I'm not coming to be served. Some people say something like this. Well, Pastor White, let me tell you why I can't serve people. I'm just a natural born leader. I'm just this way. I mean, I'm the guy who walks in and I just want to take charge and tell everyone what to do. I'm a natural born leader. Let me rephrase what you said and explain it biblically. You are a natural born sinner. And that's your pride. If you got to walk in and take charge because you want it done your way, that's not leadership, that's pride. And if we cannot serve one another, if I cannot humble myself and serve others, then I cannot grow in my faith the way the Lord wants me to grow in my faith. Now, let's get to the meat of the meat. The main question isn't, now listen carefully, the main question isn't, what do I want to do? Or what can I do? I'm talking about service now. What do I want to do? What can I do? What am I willing to do? What I've been asked to do. That's how we, let me think about what has to be done and what I'm willing to do. And let me kind of think about it. I don't know if I want to clean a bathroom, but maybe I'll take charge of this ministry. But I don't know if I want to be the guy actually sweeping the floor. I mean, if you can put me on a bus route and I can tell everyone else what to do, that's great. But I don't want to be the guy who actually sweeping out the bus. I mean, I don't want to be the flunky. I just want to be the guy telling everyone else what to do. That's not the main question. It isn't what do I want to do, what can I do, what am I willing to do, what I've been asked to do. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. Now watch. What would Jesus be doing if he was in this church? You ever think about that? If Jesus Christ himself came and joined our church, what would he be doing? Now, I understand the problem with the question. He's Jesus. We'd want to all serve him. Okay, but I'm just saying, if he came, like he came the first time, in the form of a servant, if he walked in and we didn't know it was Jesus and he just joined the church, what do you think he'd want to do? You know what I think? I think he'd want to find a ministry and be a part of it. I don't think Jesus would be happy just sitting there just saying, well, hope everyone gets all the work done because that's why I'm here, to watch everyone do all the work. I think Jesus would want to be doing some of the work. Instead of going, you need to tell someone to clean that bathroom. It's kind of dirty. He would be the guy who says, hey, can you tell me where the stuff is to clean the bathroom because it's kind of dirty. He had a different mindset about these things. Instead of saying, well, how many did you have on the bus? He'd say, hey, can I come and help you on the bus? Instead of saying, hey, those kids back there, they're kind of loud. You ought to get some more workers. They'd say, hey, let me go back there and help those kids back there. See, it'd be a different attitude. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. So I think if Jesus was in our church, he'd be involved in the Sunshine Ministry. I think if he could, he'd be teaching a Sunday school class. He would maybe be involved in the bus ministry. He'd be doing something, somehow, some way. He would want to be involved. He would want to be serving. He'd want to be a worker. He'd want to be a helper. He'd want to reach people. He'd want to love people and help people. He would want to be involved. And I think when Jesus looked at the disciples and they said, "Hey, Jesus, we want this honor. We want to sit one on your left hand, one on the right hand. We want to be the two people high underneath. You can be number one. We want to be number two underneath you." And he said, "Can you be like me?" "Oh, yeah, we can." "No, really, probably you can't. Because I'm willing to serve. And all you want is positions of honor. You want recognition. I came to serve." So if we're going to serve and grow through that service, number one, we must identify with Jesus. Let me say one more thing about it. I almost said number two. Let me say one more thing about it. Sometimes I skip over parts of my message just for the sake of time. We're not going to skip this part. Let me just say this. We are, as a church unit, this is 2019 is our best year ever. I said that last year. Well, last year was our best year ever. We've done better this year. We're thankful for those things. Almost every category, we are doing better than we've ever done. Thank God for it. Thank God for the folks who come. Thank God for the folks who give. Thank God for the folks who serve. Thank God for what the Lord allows us to do in this place. He is gracious and kind and merciful. Thank God for it. But let me say this. For a church our size, now we're not a mega church. We're pushing it. Or maybe not. But still, for a church our size, I'm going to just tell you what I think. It's really a shame that we ever are short on workers. We have plenty of people here. We don't have plenty of workers. Our church may be full, and this is relatively full for our church. Our church may be full, but our laborers are few. We should have a waiting list for every ministry. We should have people saying, "Can I serve? How about this Sunday? Can I serve this Sunday? Oh, I've got to wait another week. Come on. I've been waiting a couple of weeks already. I want to be busy serving." That should be our heart's desire. Instead of saying, I worked that ministry 3 months ago. I got to do it again. Oh, pain and suffering and agony. Oh. That shouldn't be our attitude. It's a shame our church our size would ever be in need of workers. So number one, we have to identify with Jesus. Then there's a number two. Go back with me to our text. We're talking about serving for the idea of growing. So number one, we're serving. Number two, look up with me at verse 23. So we identify with Jesus. Now we look at verse 23. "And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with." But then he says this, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give." Now watch. "But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." In other words, the Lord already has some rewards planned, and he's going to give it to those who deserve those rewards. You just serve and let the Lord do the rewarding. So number one, we identify with Jesus. Number two, let God do the rewarding. Quit worrying about who's getting recognized. "Pastor never called my name. He never talked about me." And you ought to thank God for it. Because I would much rather go to heaven being totally unknown on earth and let the Lord do all the rewarding than get all my rewards on earth and all the pats on the back and all the hand clapping and stand before the Lord. And the Lord said, "Yeah, you kind of did it for that, didn't you? That was your reward." No, I want rewards. No, you got your rewards on earth. Remember when they patted you on the back? Remember when they clapped for you? Remember how it was stroked your ego? Yeah, you got what you, that's what you wanted and that's what you got. Number two, let God do the rewarding. It may be in this world that you never receive the credit or recognition that you truly deserve. But I tell you, your sacrificial service may be overlooked, and it may be underappreciated on earth, but God keeps perfect account and rewards accordingly. Dennis Mitchell White Sr. is not going to go to heaven and say, "Lord, really? This is all I get? I mean, I served you. I did all those, and this is all I get, really." Let me tell you, when you get to heaven and you've served the Lord honestly and sincerely with the right heart and you've been faithful, you're going to get on your face when the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You're going to get on your face and say, "Lord, I just did it for you. And you're honoring me, you're rewarding me, but I just did it because I loved you." you're going to be amazed, and you're going to say, I thank God, 10,000 times thank God that I did something for him on earth. And look, now I can put these things here before his feet. Let God do the rewarding. Don't worry about who knows your name and who recognizes you and who claps for you and who pats you on the back. Just faithfully serve God. God keeps perfect account. God rewards accordingly. No service done with the right motive will ever go unrewarded by the Lord. No service done with the right motive will ever go unrewarded by the Lord. Mark chapter 9, here's what the Lord says. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. If I just do the cup of water with the right motive, the Lord says, I know that, I see that, I reward that. Can I tell you, you say, well, what's the big deal about serving in a ministry? Because the Lord knows and the Lord rewards. So, well, will I get a plaque? I mean, will the church put like something on the wall and recognizing me? No, because it's not about you. But when you stand before the Lord, you're going to say, thank God I did something for you. Let the God do the rewarding. Just serve him. Just find a place. Find a ministry to be a part of. Say, hey, can I help with the sunshine? Can I help with the bus? Can I help with the nursery? Can I help clean the church? Can I help with transformers? Can I help junior church? Can I help children church? What can I do around here? I want to serve God. I want to have something to put before his feet when I see him. Serve God faithfully. He will reward it. Serve God sacrificially. He will reward it. Serve God expectantly. He will reward it. Serve God cheerfully. He will reward it. Serve the Lord. You will not lose your reward. You may not get nothing here. No recognition, no reward, no honor. But who cares? Do it for the Lord. Let God do the rewarding. We sing this song. It goes like this. Hear ye the master's call. Give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can. Not for reward, not for the praise of men, but for the Lord. Wait not for men to laud. Heed not their slight. Winning the smile of God brings its delight. Aiding the good and true never goes unblessed. All that we think or do, be it the best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. Let God do the rewarding. Let me show you one more thought about this. I want to serve the Lord. I want to grow, and one of the ways I grow is by serving. So I identify with Christ. He came to serve. Don't come to be the one in charge. Come to be the servant. If the Lord lifts you up, then so be it, but let the Lord do the lifting up. Don't be seeking positions. Don't be looking to be in charge. Don't demand to be in charge. Just come with a servant's heart. Let God do the rewarding. Let God do the rewarding. And then number three, go back to our text, verse 25. The baptism, let me back up. Verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. This is the way the world works. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's a worldly mindset. Everyone wants to be the guy telling everyone else what to do. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. What does that teach us? Identify with Christ. Let God do the rewarding. Number three, be an example for others. You want to be chief? Serve. You want to be minister? Serve. Do it for the sake of others. Let others see your example. Be an example for others. We, this is just how we are, we're human, we want to be an executive in charge. Jesus wants to be an example to our fellow believers. We want to be the one calling the shots. And Jesus said, just serve and let that be an encouragement to others. Now, listen. Spiritual servanthood does not demand fellowship. Listen to me. Do what I say. I want this. I want this. That's not spiritual leadership. That's not spiritual servanthood. I know. Sorry, Pearl. Spiritual servanthood does not demand fellowship. Sorry, fellowship. Now watch. I'll say it again. Spiritual servanthood does not demand fellowship. It inspires fellowship. If you have to stand up to people and go like this, I'm in charge, I'm in charge, listen to me, do what I say, I'm in charge. Can I tell you? You're not in charge. How do I know? Because you had to tell them. If you got to tell people you're in charge, you know, in the secular jobs that I've held, typically the best bosses would just come out and say, hey, I need you to do such and such. Okay. They didn't say, hey, I'm the boss, you do what I say. I have some bosses like that who want to come out and say, now, you know I'm in charge of shift, so here's what I want you to do. It's like, I know you're in charge of shift. Why are you telling me? Because you want me to know that you're in charge of the shift. And you want to make sure I know this. That's not what the Lord has called us to do. The Lord has not called us to be the boss of other people. The Lord has called us to be an example for our fellow believers, to inspire them, to encourage them. If so be in the Lord's will, the Lord puts you in a position of authority, great. Okay, maybe you're not thinking this, maybe I'm just projecting myself, but you could be sitting there saying, well, that's easy for you to say, you're the pastor, everyone does what you want. First of all, let me introduce you to reality. That is not a true statement, okay? I am the pastor, everything after that doesn't really work. But you may be thinking, well, see, it's easy for the guy in charge to tell everyone else to serve. I agree. If that was all that there was of this message, I agree. Can I tell you, that's not where I started. When I started in ministry, I was not the guy in charge. And I never thought I would be the guy in charge. I didn't graduate Bible college and say, I just can't wait to be the guy in charge. Man, oh man. There was a time in my life, let me just go on a couple of rabbit trails here. There was a time in my life when I did think that. When I worked at Long John Silver's and was going to move, thank you, when I was going to move into management, here's what I thought. I thought two things. Number one is this, all the pecan pie I can eat. Yeah! And then I said, and I get to tell everyone else what to do. I am tired of people telling me, I'm going to tell them. That lasted for like a week or two. Then I realized, man, being in charge is a lot of work. And I can't get them to do what I want them to do by just telling them I'm in charge. I had to learn that's not the way it works. And so when I started ministry, I started by cleaning buses, cleaning bathrooms. I was the first guy there, the last guy to leave 7 days a week. 52 weeks, I don't think I ever had a vacation the first year, first couple years. Slaving, in air quotes, because I don't want to be negative, slaving, serving. And I think the Lord said, hey, I think that guy's serious about serving me. Let me give him a little bit of a position here because he can help encourage others. And the Lord has moved me up, not because I said, I got to get up there. I got to claw my way to the top. I just said, Lord, you want me to be a bus director? I'll just be a bus director. And then the Lord said, run a Christian school? I'll run a Christian school. You want to be in charge of a Bible Institute? I'll be in charge of a Bible Institute. When we go start a church? I'll go start a church. Now, that's how the Lord works. He's looking for the one with a heart to serve. Let your testimony of service be this type of testimony of faith, that you're just busy serving him. And those works become your testimony. And then the Lord works accordingly. Let me just show you a couple quick verses because we got to hasten. Let me just explain this. Because a lot of times we think about our faith absent of works, but faith always has this idea of serving, working. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Doesn't mean his works saving. It means his works is that testimony of his faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. In other words, so you believe, great, so there's a devil. That doesn't really mean much. What are you doing? But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There must be this works that support, that is a testimony of that faith. And Luke says this, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is Jesus. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is what Jesus is going to read now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's talking about his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he's not done. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, here's my testimony. Here's the things I'm doing. That's a fulfillment of this scripture I just read. Let me show you one more place. Luke 17. And John calling to him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Are you really who we think you are? Are you really the Messiah? Notice Jesus' answer. Start in verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John, watch, what things you have seen and heard. How did the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever not be offended in me. Basically, here's what Jesus was saying. Here's my testimony. These are the things I'm doing. My testimony isn't, I'm in charge. My testimony is, I'm serving. That's my testimony. That shows you my faith. So let me ask you a question, kind of close to the end of the message. I mentioned the first question was, what would Jesus do if he was a member of this church? Would he be sitting there like a bump in the log, or would he be active, busy, doing something? So let me ask you a same question. Let me kind of turn it a little bit. And it's meant to be pointed, so if it offends you, then the question was successful. If every believer served God as much or as little as you, if every born-again believer, if their service for the Lord was equal to yours, either greatly or not so great, what would be the state of Christianity? Let me ask you this way. If every believer served God as much or as little as you, what would be the state of our church? If everyone in our church did as much as you did. Now, some people would say this. If every member of this church did what I did, served like I serve, faithful as I'm faithful, giving as I'm giving, man, we would be tearing down this building, building 10 times this size. This place would be full. It would be something to see. Because there's some folks who are really serving the Lord. Others, if you answer that question, if people did what I do around here, well, here would be our church right here. Well, we'd have like one person in a row of four, and that would be it. All the other chairs would be empty. Because you don't do anything. You never witness. You never invite. You never clean. You never serve. You never give. You just, this is it. And you don't do anything. That's not growing Christianity. It's not that I'm mad. It's not that I'm upset. I want you to grow. And to grow, you got to serve. You got to do something. Don't wait for others. You be the example. You love the unloved. You serve outside the spotlight. You work in that ministry. You sacrificially serve. Not everyone serving in a ministry is growing as a Christian. But everyone who wants to be growing will be serving. Growing means becoming more like Jesus. And Jesus came to serve. So let me ask you a couple questions. Would you this morning surrender to serve in a ministry? See, it's easy if we make the message abstract, but abstract doesn't do anything. We got to make it concrete. So are you willing to surrender to serve? Instead of saying, yeah, you know, man, we need more workers in the bus ministry. Okay, how about you? Boy, you know, I think that junior church could use some more workers. Okay, sign up. Would you surrender this morning to serve in a ministry? Would you take an image? Because some people say this, well, you know, okay, I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not thinking of anyone, so if this is you, I'm not thinking of you. I'm not thinking of any person when I say this. Okay? Some people walk out, and here's what they say. Well, Pastor, if you ever need any help, let me know. Okay, see you later.
And they'll, bye.
But I'm not leaving yet. Okay. So, and here's how they soothe their conscience. Well, I volunteered. Okay. First of all, that was not really volunteering. That was trying to get by me without shaking my hand. But that's really not volunteering. Let me tell you what volunteering is. Here's what, let me explain to you. If I was not the pastor and I was trying to volunteer, here's what I would do. I'd get out a piece of paper. I'd say, here's all the things I think I could do. And I would just take an inventory. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I think I could do this. I'm willing to do this. And I would go to the pastor and say, here, if there's anything else not on the list, ask me. I'll try that too. I want to serve. Okay? There's no way I can, if there's one job to be done and I got 100 people in a church, I got to say, ask one, ask two, ask three, ask four. And you say, well, you didn't ask me. Okay, that's because you were 98 on the list. Okay, I got, after number 23 turned me down, I just got tired of asking and I just did it myself. Volunteer, but volunteer like, I will do these things that I think that I could do, and if there's anything not on the list, give me a shot, I'll try. Would you take an inventory and turn it in with your name? Would you commit to serve faithfully wherever needed? Erica's not here this morning, but I love Erica's spirit. I've asked Erica Schultz to do a couple different things, and she always says, absolutely, yes. I mean, it's always a very, very strong affirmation, yes. She wants to do it. And if she can't do it, she says, well, I don't know if I can do it, but if you show me how, I'll do it. That's what we're talking about. This committing to serve wherever is needed. So do you want to grow? Then let's get busy serving. Because that's how we grow together. Would you bow your head? And would you pray with me?